Coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, the team was back on the practice field on Wednesday. We'll see how Darren Waller was looking. Plus, talk about a few roster moves the Raiders made. And you know it's crossover Thursday, so David Drogemeyer, host of Locked On Chargers, is going to join the show to talk about this Week 18 win-or-go-home Sunday night football game going down at Allegiant Stadium. It's all coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast for Thursday, January 6, 2022.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
Just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
You ought to win as a Raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
And welcome into today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Thank you so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. And remember, it's free and available on all platforms. Let's just jump right into it, Raider Nation. The Raiders made some roster moves as of Wednesday. They activated defensive end Carl Nassib, guard Jordan Simmons, and tight end Darren Waller. Those guys all came off the reserve COVID-19 list, something that I talked about in pretty good detail on Wednesday, because a lot of people are anticipating Darren Waller getting back out there and being available for this big-time game coming up on Sunday against the Chargers. But before he can be on the practice field, before they can see if he's even healthy, he's got to be off the COVID-19 list, and he did that as of Wednesday. He came off that list and actually was on the practice field in a limited capacity, and you'll hear from head coach Rich Bisaccia in a few minutes on what he saw from Darren Waller and what he'd like to see moving forward before they actually put him on the field. Also, another move that the Raiders made, they released linebacker Will Compton, and then they waived linebacker Justin March Lillard. And Will Compton, he actually announced his release before the Raiders even had a chance to announce his release. He said he wanted to let it be known before he heard it from Adam Schefter, or we heard it from Adam Schefter, or saw it on SportsCenter. As a matter of fact, he had a couple really good things to say about the Raiders organization. Even though he was bummed out about being released, put out a nice little video complimenting the Raiders and head coach Rich Bisaccia. Check this out.
Emergency press conference time. I wanted you guys to hear this from me first before, you know, I'm sure every news outlet in America is going to be picking this up. And before you guys saw it on ESPN or NFL Network or tweeted by Adam Schefter, Ian Rapoport, Field Yates, I wanted you guys to hear from me first. But the boy got released this morning, man. I got cut from the Raiders, walked in the building, was in a great mood, being around the boys again. And the Grim Reaper was out ready to do the devil's work. And told me that the head man wanted to see me. And from there, you kind of already know what time it is. And went up to Coach Bisaccia's office, man, and gave him a huge hug and thanked him for absolutely everything. It was obviously a conversation you don't want to have, given all the circumstances that have went on. But I would do anything for that man. Coach Bisaccia is the best, dude. That whole organization, the staff, the players, everybody in that building has been so good to me these last few weeks as everything has unfolded for me personally. And there's truly no hard feelings. And, you know, this is part of the business. Don't feel sorry for me. Don't. And none of that bullshit. This is just the game, man. I played one game in the last four. That one game was solid. I should have had myself a tackle on punt, but I got blocked in the back. It wasn't called. But if you go back and check the tape, Ben Neiman blocked me in the back on that punt where I should have had a tackle. Not here to make excuses. That's just the facts. But guys are getting activated off COVID. The roster's getting healthy, which is a good thing. The roster's crowded, so I figured a move had to be made somewhere. Again, there's no hard feelings, man. I've enjoyed my time. It's been like nostalgia coming back to this team, being here in 2019. I just wish I could have done more for the team, for the staff, for Raider Nation. One of the best fan bases in the league, man. Once a Raider, always a Raider. And I'll still be screaming at this TV, rooting on the boys. I'll still be engaging with you guys. And it's been fun for the short amount of time I've been here. Again, I wish I could have done more for you guys and played more for everybody and gone on this playoff run that they're about to go on. But I was having a good conversation with Mayock and told him that, you know, if somebody goes down and they're in the middle of this playoff run, don't hesitate to give me a call. Playoff Willie's available. Year 9 is still intact and the farewell tour is still on. So I'm going to have myself a piggyback from Whistle Pig. I'm going to go back to Nashville, lick my wounds, and continue to be a Wolfman.
So there you go, Will Compton talking about being a Wolfman, going back to Nashville to be a Wolfman, and obviously he's got a lot of respect for the Raiders organization, Rich Bisaccia, Mike Mayock, Mark Davis, everybody, and they did stand next to him while he was going through all his personal issues that he had with dealing with the death of his mother, and I can only imagine, I can't imagine how he felt when he had to go through that, but the team did stand by him through that. So obviously he's got, like I said, a lot of respect for them. Now, Rich Bisaccia, he met with the media along with Derek Carr and Yannick Ngakoue and KJ Wright. They all met with the media on Wednesday. I'm only going to play a couple sound bites from Rich Bisaccia. The first one is about the injury report. And when it comes to the injury report, it's really about Darren Waller. Here's what Rich Bisaccia had to say about the guys that are injured.
Darren Waller was limited today. He had a chance to run around a little bit in practice, starting to get a little bit comfortable. Had some reps in there today. Jonathan Hankins was off today, still working on some of his back issues, and hopefully we can get him a little bit more practice time tomorrow. Denzel Perryman was limited today, and Josh Jacobs was limited today, but both of them kind of worked their way into some of the degree to some of the plays in there. DeSean Jackson and Nick Martin had vet days today.
So there was like an injury report summary, and they did put out an official injury report, but really, Rich Bisaccia just gave it to you. And again, the ones that matter the most, really guys like Jonathan Hankins and, of course, Darren Waller. Everyone's anticipating him coming back on Sunday. So what would the team like to see from Darren Waller? What does he have to do later on today in practice? What does he need to do on Friday to make himself available for the game on Sunday? Here's Rich Bisaccia on what the team would like to see from Darren Waller.
We'd like to see him, you know, as he can, pick up the pace a little bit in practice and maybe take a little bit more reps each day and get to a point where he feels like, you know, he can go. Tomorrow will be a big test to see how he comes off of some of the routes he ran today and some of the things he did. Will he come in tomorrow really sore and not be able to go tomorrow? Or will he come in tomorrow feeling basically feeling pretty good, maybe a little bit more like himself, and maybe take a few more reps in tomorrow's practice? So I think we'll know certainly a little bit more about that tomorrow, but we'd like to see him, you know, get himself a little bit better each day. Remember, he hasn't really played for a month. He hasn't really ran around for a month. So I think he felt the effects of that a little bit today, and we'll see what tomorrow brings.
So that's what I was talking about on Wednesday's show. He really has got to be able to do something in practice, and he was limited on Wednesday. So he's got to go back, see how he's going to feel later on today, see if he's able to expand on that, continue to play, or if it's going to be a setback, if he's going to be too sore since he hasn't played in so long. So today is probably the most critical day for Darren Waller. We'll probably know a lot more. Well, we won't know today because Rich Bisaccia is not going to talk to the media today, but he will meet with the media on Friday. So we'll probably have a really good idea by around 1 o'clock, 1:30 Pacific Standard Time on Friday if Darren Waller is going to give it a go on Sunday night or not. And then, of course, we get the official news about 90 minutes before kickoff on Sunday night for Sunday Night Football. So Rich Bisaccia was also asked about another guy who's been in the headlines a lot. That's cornerback Nate Hobbs, who was arrested on Monday morning for suspicion of DUI. And I felt like he was going to play. I really did. I always felt like he was going to play because right now it's a legal issue and he doesn't have a court date till May. So as we all know, and I know it doesn't seem like this in society, you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. But a lot of times you're guilty and you've got to prove your innocence. Now, again, I don't encourage or condone what Nate Hobbs did or is being accused of doing. But again, that's what we live by in society. You're innocent till proven guilty. So here's Rich Bisaccia on if there's any update on Nate Hobbs and if he expects him to play coming up on Sunday.
As far as Nate Hobbs is concerned, you know, obviously we take that extremely serious organizationally and certainly within our team. And so based on what we've learned at this time, we expect Nate to play. It's a legal matter, and other than that, I've really nothing else. We'll leave it at that.
And that's really what he did. He was asked about Nate Hobbs again at the end of the presser, and he said, hey, I already gave my answer on him, and we're going to leave it at that. So it's a legal matter. Based off of what they learned after gathering information, they feel like he's going to play. Now, I mentioned it when it first happened that his lawyers were very adamant that this is not going to be a DUI case, at least in the state of Nevada. So clearly they feel like that there's somewhere where he's going to get off, similar to what happened with Josh Jacobs when he got his situation that he was in about a year ago. So sounds like Nate Hobbs is probably going to get off. Of course, we've got to see how the legal situation shakes out and how it all works out. But expect to see 39 out there on the field on Sunday. And so the final thing I want you to hear from Rich Bisaccia is just on what he feels has been most rewarding about his time as the head coach of the Raiders.
Just how our team has improved and how they've started to form an identity, you know, over the last month and you know, being able to put themselves in position at the end of games to find a way to win. And that's what they've done. And, you know, I feel like during the course of games, they've had a chance to keep improving and you know, playing a little bit better as the game went on. So I think the most rewarding thing for all of us is that our team is still working on their identity. Our team is competing with relentless effort to the bitter end in all games, and that they're improving each day. So, well, again, we'll we'll just hope to improve after today and see what tomorrow brings.
So there's Rich Bisaccia right there just talking about the Raiders trying to establish an identity. They're working on their identity, but they have found ways to win games, which is most important as they're on the three-game winning streak and have a big one, obviously, coming up on Sunday at Allegiant Stadium. Speaking of the big one coming up on Sunday at Allegiant Stadium, let's get into it. Crossover edition. It's Thursday. You know what that means. The host of the next team up on the schedule will join the show to talk about the team and break them all the way down. It's the final game of the season, week 18. David Drogemeyer, host of Locked On Chargers, he'll join the show to break it all the way down, talk about this season finale, win or go home. It gets no better than that. We'll do it coming up in segment number two. Before we get to that, though, I do want to tell you about betonline.ag. And you know, there's a lot of football. There's a lot of sports that you could be getting your gamble on with, including college football. The national championship game is about, well, I don't know, a handful of days away on Monday, the 10th. Basketball, pro and college, NHL, boxing, UFC, it is all going down right now. BetOnline.ag has got you covered. They're your number one spot for all sports action all season long. What you need to do is head to the website right now on your laptop or your mobile device, sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. All you got to do? Use the promo code Locked On. It's all one word. It's simple. Whatever you put into your account, you're going to get 50% on top of that if you use the promo code Locked On. So you put $1,000 into your account, you'll get $500 on top of that to play with as long as you use the promo code Locked On. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Take advantage of all the new amazing offers available that they have. Again, BetOnline.ag, it's where the game starts.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time to jump into part one of the crossover edition. David Drogemeyer, host of Locked On Chargers, will join the show. We do it twice a season. And, of course, this one is even more exciting because it's for all the marbles. Week 18 elimination game. You win, you keep on playing. You lose, you go home and you worry about the offseason. So that's bottom line. So David Drogemeyer joins the show, and we start things off talking about what his excitement level and what the excitement level is for Charger fans about this upcoming game on Sunday night at Allegiant Stadium.
Well, after that debacle in Houston, where they get boat raced by a team who has, you know, 15 plus players on the COVID list, I think the Chargers fans and the Chargers organization is just happy to have an opportunity. They're happy to have a chance because, you know, they had to have things break their way to be able to even get this win and an opportunity. So I think Charger fans are extremely excited. We know that all eyeballs are going to be on this game. Everyone in America is going to be tuning into this one, and I think it's just a sense of excitement for this one on Sunday night.
Yeah, I don't know how you can't be excited about Sunday night football, right? I mean, you got a win or get in type situation. This is what everyone signs up for. It's what I know I'm excited and signed up for as well. As far as the Chargers go, they got the first one in SoFi, in L.A. They get the victory over the Raiders, and now who knows what's going to happen Sunday night. But in your opinion, how much has this team changed, evolved either for the good or the worse since week four?
Yeah, I think the turning point for the Chargers season was really after the bye week. I think they were very inconsistent. They had a great hot start. Then they kind of ping-ponged a little bit. Then they get to the bye week, and I think they understood, like, this run defense is not working. It is awful. It's one of the worst in the league. We cannot move forward past this point with this same style of run defense. It's just not going to work. And I think one guy that really came back for the Chargers and changed a lot of things is Justin Jones, their defensive tackle. When he's on the football field, the Chargers are giving up a full yard less per rush.
Wow.
It's just unbelievable. You know, when he's off the field, close to 6 yards a carry, or, you know, 5.5 yards a carry. When he's on the field, it's more like 4.2. So he makes just a tremendous difference in there. And it's his physicality, it's his effort, it's his energy, it's what he brings to the middle of that defensive line for the Chargers. So I think solidifying that run defense, also acquiring Andre Roberts for special teams, he's been phenomenal this year, been really a shot in the arm for that unit, a unit that was one of the worst in the league. I mean, last year it was the worst in NFL history, and this year we were just begging them to get back to normalcy. They add Andre Roberts. They bring in Hopkins, the kicker, and that seemed to have really stabilized that unit. The offense has been prolific. I mean, they can score at will at any time. I think that's been pretty consistent. But the biggest difference to me since that point is the run defense improving tenfold.
You know, are you surprised that it took so long for the run defense to develop and even some of the defense in general to develop, since Brandon Staley is a defensive-minded head coach and he's taken over the role, obviously, this year as the head coach?
No, I don't think so, because this is a completely different defense, and this is the first year that these guys have played in this defense. So, and also, they've dealt with a lot of injuries, especially in the secondary. You know, Derwin James, the safety, is their signal caller. He's their, you know, he's their guy. He's their conductor of the defense. And he's missed some time this year, but they've all missed time. They haven't had their starting five guys in the secondary out there besides last game against the Broncos one time, and that was week one. So they haven't really been able to deploy the type of packages that they wanted to deploy on defense. They haven't been able to play their style of defense because they haven't had all the guys that they had in training camp and really built this defense for. So I think that's one of the other reasons. And also, like I said, you got to just give this some time. I mean, it's a completely new – I mean, Gus Bradley, as you know, was the defensive coordinator last year, and this defense is completely different than his. There's a lot more moving parts. There's a lot more disguise. There's a lot more things to learn. So I don't think it's surprising to me that it took some time, and it makes sense as we creep towards the end of the season that they're starting to really hit their stride.
Right. And that's, you know, that's obviously a bad thing for the Raiders. They don't want them to hit their stride right now as they're going in this such important game. But you mentioned Denver, and they held the Broncos to less than 21 points. That's the first time in, I think, 10 games that they've held a team under 21 points. Is that more, again, going back to the defense gelling and understanding what they're supposed to be doing, was that more of that, or was that more of, well, Drew Lock and Denver is just not very good offensively?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think the Denver Broncos know that Drew Lock is probably not the answer at quarterback there. And you have a full complement of weapons over there. Like, they have a lot of wide receivers. Now, several of them were missing on Sunday due to COVID. That's something that we've all had to deal with. Every team in the NFL has had to deal with. So, I mean, no one's going to feel sorry for you. They don't care. You got to go out there and perform. Like I said, I think Derwin James, he had a hamstring injury that he was dealing with for the last 3 or 4 weeks. And to have him come back and really bring that leadership and that physicality and just his all-world presence. I mean, he can do anything on the football field. He really helps. He's a glue guy. He really helps that allow that Chargers defense to operate the way they really want to. But, you know, I think the key for the Chargers is definitely stopping the run. If they cannot stop the run, then they can't, you know, they're going to allow their opponents to get in those nice, easy down and distance situations. You want to get those teams in those third and five plus situations as much as you can. And the Raiders, you know, I was watching that game against the Colts. They did a fantastic job of getting into those really, you know, third and short situations, mm-hmm. you know, second and short situations where they didn't even get to third down. And that's because they were running the ball extremely effectively. So the Chargers have to make sure that they are keying in on Josh Jacobs, who looks much healthier this time round than in week four.
Yeah, no, you're right. Absolutely right. And so, staying in front of the chains is something that the Raiders have to do. I mean, they just aren't built to have third and long consistently, especially when you got a guy like Joey Bosa coming screaming off the corner, coming out to Derek Carr. So they don't want to get into those type of situations. Now, as far as the Chargers and their offensive line goes, I know Corey Linsley went out with a back injury last week against Denver. What is his status? What do you think? I mean, how is he doing? I'm sure he's going to play on Sunday, but how close to 100% do you think he'll be?
Yeah, I mean, they had a like kind of a walkthrough type practice today, and he did not participate. They did say they were going to take it easy with him early on in the week, which, I mean, that makes sense. This guy is a veteran in this league. He has been an all-pro, a very, very high performer. And, you know, those guys that have been in the league a little bit longer, they get a little bit more leeway. You know, you're going to give them every opportunity to get the rest that they need so that they're at their best when they really need them on Sunday Night Football. So I expect Corey Linsley will play. He's probably going to miss some practice time, but for a veteran of his status and his ability, I don't think that's going to be any consequence for him.
No, I don't think so either. And like I said, I fully expect him to play. As far as the rest of the guys go and health-wise, I mean, just what's everyone looking like? I know Jared Cook was also activated from the COVID-19 list, which is good because that's a big-time red zone target. So how's everyone else kind of looking as far as health goes into this game?
Yeah, I think the only guy that the Chargers have any kind of genuine concern about as far as potentially missing this game at this point in time is probably linebacker Drew Tranquil. Drew Tranquil got injured in that Houston game. He did not play in this game against the Denver Broncos. So he's a guy that's probably a little bit more day-to-day. They also have one of their, you know, rushing linebackers, Kyler Fackrell, who is designated to return off of IR from last week. He just wasn't quite ready to, you know, to get back out there and participate. But I think this is a week where he might be able to come back and play, because obviously the Chargers and the Raiders, everyone that's playing in this game, they need all hands on deck to be able to go out there and get a W.
So there's part one of our conversation right there, talking all things Chargers. David Drogemeier, host of Locked On Chargers, does a fantastic job. Love talking to him a couple times a season. So coming back in segment number three, it'll be part two of my conversation. We'll continue to talk about the Chargers. We'll start things off with Austin Eckler. Before we get to that, though, I do want to tell you about an app that, well, if you drive, you need to know about. It's fantastic. It's called Get Upside, and everyone who is a listener of the Locked On Raiders podcast is making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every single time they fill up. All you got to do is download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and use the promo code Touchdown. You'll get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Why would you want to do that, right? Get cash back using Get Upside. Again, download the app for free and use the promo code Touchdown to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. And people that drive a lot, and there's a lot of people that drive a lot in Vegas, in Northern California, in Southern California. I mean, there's a lot of folks that just drive all over the place, all over Texas. I mean, there's just a lot of folks driving. So all the ones that are driving a lot, they're making a lot, up to $200 to $300 a month. And there's absolutely no catch. You're driving and you're buying gas anyway, so now you're getting cash back. The cash back gets added right to your account, and you can cash out anytime to a bank account, PayPal, even e-gift cards like Amazon, other brands. You know the detail, right? Just download the free GetUpside app. Use the promo code Touchdown to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. Again, that's promo code Touchdown, and the app is GetUpside.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time to jump into part two of my conversation with David Drogemeier, host of Locked On Chargers. Talked all Chargers in segment number two. Going to talk all Chargers here in segment number three. We're going to start off talking about Austin Eckler and the way his game really, to me, has continued to evolve.
Well, he's hit a career high in rushing yards this year, Q. It's not just the receiving yards anymore. You can't just look at Austin Eckler and say, oh, he's just a receiving weapon, I don't have to worry about him as a running back. If you do that, that would be a gross miscalculation. This guy is a well-rounded running back in this league. He is a weapon. He's an absolute weapon. If you get him in space, he's so low to the ground. He has great contact balance. He is hard to bring down. Even if you hit him squarely, he'll bounce off of you. He's just such a dangerous weapon. And I think looking, especially against this game, the Raiders have some great corners, but their linebackers have a giant target on them. A couple of them are giving up over 80% reception percentage on the season. And of course, you're going to use a guy who is filthy dangerous in the open field to try to attack those linebackers. So I expect Austin Eckler to be targeted frequently, early, and often in this game.
Do you think that they'll try to use him in the same, and I know they've kind of have done it, but in the same form as like the Colts use Jonathan Taylor, where he's the guy who makes everything go, even though they have a dude in Justin Herbert that can get it done behind center?
I think if you look at how things have broken down this year, they're still pretty heavy, you know, around 69-70% pass. They do want to have that balance, not 50-50 balance,
right,
but a balance to know that if they run the football and if they're trying to take away, if they're the team they're playing is trying to take away the run, then they can throw the football. But if they're trying to take away the pass, they have to be able to run the ball and really set that physicality as well. I mean, that's part of the run game. That's what Brandon Staley said, is we have to run the football because we have to make them go tackle us. We have to expend that energy, and it helps set up your play action pass and your ability to attack down the football field. You know, obviously in this cover three zone, you know, you're going to have some spots in the zone that are going to be open. So I do expect Justin Herbert to throw the football. But I think one thing that's really helped this Chargers rushing attack lately, Q, is that they've really been able to get another contribution from another runner, and that's Justin Jackson. Justin Jackson, over the last three or four games, has really been playing the best football of his career. And Austin Eckler has been clamoring for a guy to give him some, you know, give him a rest, give him a blow, because he's a small guy. He just doesn't have the type of frame that can do what Derrick Henry does, that can do what, you know, the Colts running back can do. He can't do that. He's not built that way. So to have another guy they can bring in that can complement him, give him some rest, and still give him some good production, I think it's been a welcome sight for him and the Chargers.
Now, you know, I got to ask about Justin Herbert. I mean, he's kind of the constant. Everyone knows how good he is, but how good is he? I mean, he just broke Phillip Rivers' season record as far as touchdowns goes. He has 35 now. He did that against the Denver Broncos. I'm sure everyone was fired up and excited about that, but just, I mean, how much has this guy evolved? How much better has he gotten since week four?
It's scary. It's scary for opposing teams to see how much this guy has progressed. And it really, I think it has a lot to do with the processing of the football field. I think we had Daniel Popper of The Athletic, who covers the Chargers, on our last show. And he really said that Justin Herbert is an elite level processor of the field now. He's able to really go through. In his rookie year, they said they kind of broke it down for him to where you only really had to read half the football field. And, you know, for a rookie quarterback, that's appropriate. But now in year two, with this coaching staff, this offensive regime here with the Chargers, they dumped the entire playbook on him and said, hey, you're going to go absorb all of this and you're going to drown until you get it. But what I think what that's done is allow him to understand what, not just what he's supposed to do, but what everyone around him is supposed to do and how he's supposed to operate this offense. And it all has to do with his ability to process the field, get through his entire reads, and be able to make a good decision. And he's had the lowest turnover worthy plays in the NFL this season, according to Pro Football Focus. And his average under pressure is QB is like 86. It's just unbelievable. His ability to perform off platform and his ability to keep the play alive and make a play down the football field. Justin Herbert is one of the premier quarterbacks in the league. And this guy still has somewhere he can go. And that's, I think, what's exciting for Charger fans and should be extremely scary for anyone else in the NFL.
Oh, absolutely. You know, as long as he continues to keep growing, I mean, yeah, sky's the limit, no doubt. And if he's getting the ball off and getting completion percentages at that high of a rate when he's getting pressured, I mean, that's scary dangerous. So that's something that, I mean, the Raiders are good at getting pressures on the quarterbacks. They don't really get sacks all the time, but they get a lot of good pressures and they don't create turnovers. I mean, for some reason, Gus Bradley's defense just doesn't create a bunch of turnovers. They haven't created one in three games, but even when the ball's in their hand, David, the ball could be in their hand and they could decide that neither one of them want the ball. Shouting out Casey Hayward and Trayvon Merrick. It happens. I've seen it happen. But, you know, it is what it is. I'll ask you this, man, before I wrap up is I wanted to ask you about the coaching staff and Brandon Staley in particular. How much does the team rally behind him when he says, I have all faith in you to go pick up this fourth down. I have all faith in you to go get this 2-point conversion. Even if it doesn't work out, he'll stand out there and he'll still take the bullets and say, hey, that was my decision. It was the idea that I felt was good and I executed and just didn't work out. But how much does that rally the team? Like, hey, we love that our coach believes in us this much.
Well, I think the players, if you ask them, they want to be aggressive and they want to go for it. And they want to get the points. They want to get the opportunity to stay on the field. And the way Brandon Staley looks at it, I want to give the football to my best player. And I want to give him an opportunity to go out there and convert. I trust my best offensive weapon, my best player, to go out there and get the job done more than I do kicking a field goal. And a lot of his processes are analytically driven. So he does look at that a lot, but that's his identity.
Right.
If it's fourth and short, or, you know, even if they're in a situation where the game says, hey, if I don't go for it here, I am going to lose this football game because the momentum is not on my side. He will do it in those situations. He'll do it in the red zone. Whenever it feels like it's a good decision or if it's analytically driven, he is going to go for it on fourth down because that is who he is and the players absolutely love it.
I got to ask this then. I put you in the scenario. Game's on the line. Chargers win the game. They're going to the playoffs. They lose. Obviously, they're going home. Raiders same situation. The Chargers, they just got within 1 point. All they got to do is kick an extra point to tie, or they go for two to win. What does Brandon Staley do?
Oh, man, that's such a tough question. But I think that depends on how the game has progressed up to that point. I feel like if the Chargers feel like they have all the momentum in that situation, I feel like they're probably going to go for the throat and go for the win. I think that's just who Brandon Staley has shown us to be up to this point. And I don't think that's going to change in this game.
There it is. There it was, Raider Nation. That is the blueprint. That is the layout. That is the breakdown of the L.A. Chargers, who will be headed to Allegiant Stadium on Sunday. Cannot wait. That atmosphere is going to be electric. It's going to be fantastic. I cannot wait to be in there. And Raider Nation, you should be in there as well. I know a ton of people that are making their way to Vegas. I know a lot of folks already in Vegas. They can't wait to get to the game as well. And I'm just glad to be a part of it, just a small part of the whole event. And we're one day closer. You know, the wrapping up of this show right now means that we're one day closer. Coming up tomorrow, we'll obviously have keys to victory, what the Raiders are going to have to do, what I feel the Raiders are going to have to do to get a victory in advance to the playoffs. You know, we'll have more news and notes. We'll find out how Darren Waller did at practice later on today. Gus Bradley, Greg Olsen, and others will talk to the media as well. We may have some sound bites from them. Who knows? We'll see how it all shakes out. Obviously, more calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. It'll all be coming up as we close out the week really, really strong tomorrow and prepare for the game on Sunday. So until then, Raider Nation, continue to do what you do. Stay safe out there in those streets. Take care of your family. Love on your family. And most importantly, as always, just win, baby.